Well, we're doing our series on I love my church. I love our church. I love our church. You know why I love our church? One of the reasons that I love our church is because it has some extraordinary people. We have extraordinary people here. How many of you would go along with me and admit or be willing to at least reveal your true feelings that you feel that you're a little above average, you're a little above ordinary? If that's you, would you raise your hand? That's good. I think that's about all of us. Because I think you are. I don't think you come here unless you're a little above average or a little different for sure. And you want something deeper. You want something more. And so if you're not average and you're not ordinary, then what does that make you?
Extraordinary.
You got it. So I'm talking to extraordinary, above average people, right? And so that's very, very good. And so what I want to talk today is about that. I want to talk about extraordinary people. And I want to start in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6. And so we're going to put that on the screen for you right now, and we're going to discuss this. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says this: "But without faith, it is impossible to do what? To please God." Without faith. Now, faith is vital, and what he's explaining here in Hebrews 11 is about faith. And then he goes on to say that without faith, after he says that, he says, "For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is." Now, that's the first step of faith. There's no faith if you don't believe in God. So that's the first step, but it doesn't stop there. And there's a conjunction. And the conjunction joins that thought with the next thought. And between those two thoughts, there's this vast space. And it goes on and he says, "And that he is the rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him." Now, I want to make sure that we get this. You see, first of all, God wants to reward you. It pleases him. It pleases him to get to reward you, and he rewards you because of your faith. But it's not just faith to believe in God. That's just the beginning. That's the initial part of what faith is. Faith includes and goes to believing that God wants to reward you. And he rewards you when you diligently seek him. I think that we Christ followers have this idea that we just pray a prayer. We pray a prayer and we receive him as our Lord and Savior, and then from then on, you know, everything goes well in life. We get all of his blessings, we get all of his rewards, everything goes well from then on. No. He only rewards you when you diligently seek him. And once we understand that, you see, we kind of get a step up. We become a little more extraordinary because we have an edge. Now, seeking God isn't always easy, is it? I mean, we have problems. We have big ideas. We have big dreams. We have big hopes, big plans. And then we have big problems. Am I right? And these big problems cause us to negate. It causes adverse effect on our seeking God. We stop seeking God the way that we know we should seek God when we're having these big problems. We start skipping church. We're having big problems. If we come to church, we kind of tolerate the praise and the worship. We don't praise. We don't worship. We tolerate people that do, and we just kind of wait. And we sit back with our arms kind of folded and say, "Okay, preacher, hurry up and get done." And we stop doing the things that are included with diligently seeking God. We stop praying. We stop ministering to people. We stop reading our word. We stop giving. We stop doing the things that we know we need to do if we're going to diligently seek God. And so then the rewards stop. And we get down. And all of this happened because of the big problem that we had. Now let me show you what I've learned over the years. Average people have average problems. And ordinary people have ordinary problems. But you just told me that you weren't average. And that you weren't ordinary. What did you tell me that you are? You're extraordinary. So if average people have average problems and ordinary people have ordinary problems, what kind of problems do extraordinary people have?
Extraordinary problems.
Extraordinary people have extraordinary problems. And so if you're having an extraordinary problem, be encouraged. Be encouraged, because I'm going to show you some neat stuff here. First of all, you're a child of God. And because God is in you, you can expect naturally, and I'm going to show you, to have problems, to be persecuted, to have a little more difficulty in life than non-Christians do, non-people do. I know that this, you don't think it's that way, but that's exactly what Jesus said it's going to be. But here's what I really want you to see. See, in reality, the more extraordinary life you live, the more extraordinary problems you're going to face. So here's the point, and I really want you to get this, so we're going to put it on the screen for you right now. See, God does not match your problems according to how you think they should be or to what you think you can handle. God matches your problems according to the size of your future and the size of your destiny. So if you're having some big problems, you've got a big future. If you learn how to handle the problems and use the problems instead of stumbling blocks as stepping stones, use those to promote you and not defeat you. So, for example, why do people talk about you? They don't talk about other people. They don't talk about average people. They don't talk about ordinary people. They talk about you. They make you look bad before others. Why? Because you're different. And because of that, the enemy's going to come at you to stop you. And I'm going to show you all this in just a second. But the enemy's coming at you, and people are going to talk you. And, you know, I was thinking about this. Was Jesus a little exceptional? Was he a little extraordinary? Did they talk and criticize Jesus? How badly? Now, do you remember what he said about this? Do you remember what he said about handling what people said about him or what people say about us? Do you remember what he said? Probably not. And so he knew that we wouldn't. And so he asked us, look at this in John chapter 15 and verse 20. It says here, do you remember that I told you? Do you remember what I told you? No, Lord, I probably don't. So tell me again. So he does. And he says, a servant is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted, since they talked about, since they criticized me, naturally. Would you say naturally? Naturally. This is the way it's supposed to be. Summer, winter, spring, fall. You know, this is. Anyway. Sun comes up, sun goes down, moon comes up. Naturally. This is the way it works. Naturally, they will persecute you. And watch this. The people of the world will hate you because you belong to me. See, I think we have this idea that we Christians should get special treatment. We do. And the more extraordinary a Christ follower you are, the more extraordinary treatment you're going to get. I was thinking about this, you know, concerning my own life. As many of you know, I have an extraordinary large amount of critics. Most of you, all of you probably, has at one time criticized me. That's okay. That's okay. I understand it. If you haven't, you will. Okay. So that's just part of my territory. You see, what Jesus is saying here is this is the natural thing to do. Don't let it get you down. Just shake it off and go on. And so when I'm told, you know, boy, you have a lot of critics. You have an extraordinarily amount of critics. I said, that's because I'm an extraordinary person. And when you're doing something, you say, I don't hang my head down and say, poor old me. What I do is I shake it off and I go on. And I keep doing what God's called me to do. Because I have come to know that with every stumbling block that I've encounter through life, if I handle it correctly, on the other side of that stumbling block is a stepping stone that takes me further toward where I want to be in life and toward my future that God has for me. Another thing that I was thinking about is, why is it that every time I or every time you really go after your dream, the thing that you want to do in life, The thing that you feel you want to do more than anything else. Every time that you go after it, you hit major difficulties. Why is that? It's because God has a major future for you. If I can get you to see today that the dimension of your difficulty and your problem is in direct proportion with the dimension of your future, if I can get you to equate this today, and that the way we get the rewards to get beyond all of these things is there's a reward on the other side of the difficulty, and the way we get those rewards is by diligently seeking Him, then we've been successful. So I was just thinking about these kinds of things, you know? So don't begin complaining. See, if you never do anything, you never have to face anything. But if you do a lot, you face a lot. And if you do extraordinary things and you have an extraordinary life, you're going to have extraordinary difficulties. So don't complain about these things. Don't say, you know, why did I lose my job? Don't say, why do I have this sickness? Don't say, oh, poor me. See, what I'm wanting you to see today is that the obstacles are not there to defeat you, but to promote you. And on the other side of every obstacle, there's a reward. Because to get through that obstacle, you're going to have to seek God. You're going to have to diligently seek God. And if you will, then He's promised you that I will reward you. Have you ever thought about this? That David would have just been David the shepherd boy without Goliath. Goliath, the giant problem. But, I mean, in the natural, who would have ever thought that this teenager would defeat this giant? This warrior who was trained to war, trained to kill, had all of this armor. And here's David, no armor. No weaponry other than a sling. Who would have ever thought that this little guy would be able to defeat this giant problem? But it was David facing and defeating Goliath that promoted him to what God... What was God doing? I mean, I really want to see, we can look at David and we can look at that in hindsight and we can see what God was doing. So if we ask in David's situation, what was God doing? Then what we see that with Goliath, what God was doing was promoting David, setting David's future. Without Goliath, there was no promotion of David. At the best, he would have been Saul's psalmist. But instead, he's David the giant killer. What happened here, what God did through that situation was with that extraordinary problem. He brought out the extraordinary problem, Goliath, brought out the extraordinary person, David. The reason you face extraordinary problems is not to defeat you, but to bring the extraordinary person that you are out of you. God has a future for you, and it's in direct proportion to the difficulties that you face. Some of you are facing what seems to be impossible giants, just like Goliath, right now. So what I'm trying to tell you and let you know today is there's an extraordinary future for you if you will handle it correctly. If you will come to the place where you can diligently seek God, He will reward you. God, again, did not set that there, Goliath there, to defeat David. God presented Goliath to David for David to conquer. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says this, "Nay, in all these things," and when you look at the things that Paul talks about and happened to him in his life, shipwrecks and beatings and prisons and been snake bit and all of these things that he went through. But no, he says, "Nay, in all these things, all these problems and all this criticism that I get and all this stuff that I go through and all these things, we are more than what? More than conquerors." Now, what is a more than a conqueror? I've heard these goofy things, you know, they say, let me tell you what a more than a conqueror is. A more than a conqueror is somebody that defeats a conqueror. Goliath was a conqueror. David was more than a conqueror. And the thing that comes against you has probably defeated a lot of people. But it's not supposed to defeat you because you're extraordinary. And what's in you is greater than that thing. So he's through Christ who loved us. So if you're facing Goliath and you're facing obstacles and they seem seemingly big, then just realize, wow, what a future God has for me. There is something really, really good out there. I'm going to say this to you. God does not present big problems to small people. So if you're having a big problem, that means you're a big person. And there's a big future. How many is relating to what I'm telling you so far, man? There's some prophecy. So we got to get a new concept about this stuff. We're not being defeated. We're being presented opportunities. God will not give you a Goliath, a major challenge in life, and not give you everything to defeat that Goliath. You may just need a sling and 5 stones and only use one of them. But whatever that you need, God's going to make sure you've got it or He would have never presented it to you. Now, how many has heard the verse quoted, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world? You ever heard that? Raise your hand if you've ever heard it. Okay, I think that's all of us. But do you know the context in which that is found? Now this is interesting. Along these terms and along these lines that I'm talking to you about, it's amazing. Because I want to share it with you. It's going to freak some of you out. 1 John 4:3 says this, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now let me stop there. Just leave it up. Let me talk. Here's what this means. What this means is every religion, every person who says that Jesus is not the Son of God, Jesus is not the Christ, the Messiah, the sent one from God, it's not of God. I don't care what religion it is. It's not of God. I don't care who he is or what he thinks he knows. If they say Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that's not God. Then he says, and this is the spirit of
Antichrist.
Okay. Let me get this right. Spirit of Antichrist is what says that what I believe is not of God. I believe in Christ. I believe that Jesus came from God, and that it's through Christ that I can approach God, and it's through Christ that I get my rewards, my blessings in life. It's through Christ. So what Antichrist does is try to stop me from believing that. It's the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. How many's heard that Antichrist is going to come? Come on, help me. Work with me. Good. All right, now read the rest of the verse. What does it say? You've heard that Antichrist should come, and what?
Even now,
already, is it in the world? Well, hello. Now that messes up some stuff, doesn't it? When did John write this? 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, Antichrist was here. We're still waiting. He's already here. And he sneaks up on you. And what Antichrist does is try to come to you and knock you down and keep you down. It's an Antichrist spirit that comes on you. And then he goes on, he's already in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome. You've what? You've already overcome. Why? See, everything's in you that you need right now to defeat whatever problem that you're facing right now. Already now. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, that means that anything that the enemy or that any person or that anything that comes against you can throw at you, you can defeat.
Right.
Even Antichrist. Anything. You are already empowered with everything that you already need to go ahead and win the fight. You just got to seek God. You just got to utilize your weaponry. And you got to get it done. Now, the size of the problem that you're facing is not the major thing. What's really major is the size of that within you. I was a child, I was about 10 years old, and I'm 2 years older than my sister. So she was 8 and smaller than me. And we were out in her yard playing one day. And this big black dog, I mean, it looked like a horse when I'm 10 years old, but it still looks big now. It was a big black dog. Came galloping into our yard. Saw us, was a little startled, and snarled at us. Now, I'm 10, and my sister's smaller than me. And I'm afraid. This thing could attack us and eat us up. I didn't know what we were going to do. Well, we had this little dog in the house. It was a little house dog. Her name was Princess. No more than 10 inches high. Just a little dog. A little short legs. She's kind of old, gotten fat. And she comes around the corner. I don't know if she heard this dog or smelled. I don't know what, but she come around the corner. And when she came around the corner, the hair on her back was stood up. She was showing her teeth. And as fast as her little legs was going, she was charging that dog. And I'm thinking, you know, I had mixed emotions. I was so glad that Princess came out to intervene between us and that dog. But at the same time, I'm thinking, Princess is dead. This dog can swallow her with one bite. But that's not what happened. That big dog, 10 times bigger than Princess, turned, stuck its tail between its legs, and took off the very same way it came in. Faster. With Princess, little Princess, just sniffing at its hind end. And, you know, and relating to this, see, it's not how big the big black dog in your yard is. What really matters is how big Christ in you is. How big is that within you? Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. It doesn't matter what the world throws at you. You have abilities right now to overcome it. You're more than a conqueror. Though it may have knocked everybody else out, you can handle it. And so, I want us to see this. I love my church. I love our church. One reason is because it's extraordinary people. And what makes us extraordinary is the extraordinary power that God has here. There's a power that happens to us. You see, I want us to make sure that we understand this. So within us are all of these gifts, all of these talents, all of this stuff that come, and when we come together, there is all of this power that generates. There are all these talents, all these abilities, all these gifts, all these arts, all this love, all this compassion, all this mercy, all this forgiveness, all this prayer, all of these things come together, and man, it creates a power. And that's working within us. Let me read you this. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more." I've read this to you last week. But how much is He able to do? Immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. What do you want to happen in 2009 to you? It's immeasurable what God will do for you if you will diligently seek Him. He wants to reward you more than you can even imagine, according to the power that is at work where? Where's this power at work? Within us. See, the size of your problem is not the major issue. The size of what's in you is the major issue. It's at work within us. To Him be glory in the church. Now, don't disassociate those two thoughts. God gets glory because of the power that's working in us. The power that works in us brings God glory. And in Christ, through Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If you're in the church, there is a power in you. There is a power to defeat anything that runs in your yard. There's a power in you to defeat, and you're more than a conqueror. Any problem, any difficulty. And you got to realize you're an extraordinary person, and extraordinary people have extraordinary problems. See, we just elected a new president. I don't think this new president has a gleaming glimpse yet of what he's going to be facing. Now you ask George Bush what he's going to be, what a president. So he knows. And so what I'm trying to relay through that thought is that I don't care what it throws at you. If you're seeking Christ, you can overcome it. Now, but what happens to us, because of all this power that we have in us, and all of this that's within us, and greater is He, we know all, we can quote all the scriptures, and we can say all these things, and we know that all this is supposed to be true. But when that big black dog runs into our yard, I see so many Christ followers who know all the scriptures cower down. I see them back away and take the dreams that God has put into their hearts and shove them down so deep that they never get to experience in their whole life the gift and the presence and the power and the dream that God put in them, because they are afraid of the big black Antichrist dog, the big Goliath, that's running through our yards. We have dreams. God has given you a dream. And what that dream will bring for you is the best life you can possibly imagine. And I can't talk about dreams and not talk about Joseph. Joseph had an extraordinary dream. But along with Joseph's extraordinary dream, Joseph had extraordinary problems. Joseph's own mother and dad put down Joseph's dream. His own parents didn't like his dream. His brothers hated his dream so badly that they took him and threw him in a pit and then sold him to slavery. That's extraordinary rejection. Now, I've been through some rejection. You have too. But not like that. That's extraordinary rejection. They took him and they sold him into slavery, and Potiphar bought him and put him to work. And then Potiphar's wife told an extraordinary lie on Joseph, which caused Joseph some extraordinary problems. He was put into prison, falsely accused, misjustice, extraordinary misjustice. Now, most of us, when that big black dog would run into our yards, we just give up on our dream. But Joseph was an extraordinary person. When Joseph's brothers came to see him, came asking for food, they didn't even know who he was. But when they came, the Bible says that Joseph remembered his dreams. Joseph never buried his dreams. Through the rejection, through the allegations, through the prison, he never buried his dreams. And then one day, Joseph had an extraordinary promotion. You know what happened? He became the vice president of the whole nation, sitting at the right hand, a type of Christ, sitting at the right hand in authority. Why? Because he didn't bury his extraordinary dream. He understood he was an extraordinary person serving an extraordinary God. And when you do that, you can get the dream alive. And one day, God rewards him with more than he could even ask or imagine. He never stopped seeking God diligently. He never lost his faith in God. He loved the Lord. He loved his dream. And he pursued the Lord. Some of you think your dream will never happen. You've got it buried down into there so far because of the big black dog, because of Goliath, because of the persecutions. I'm here to tell you today to stop saying that you're too discouraged about it. I want to tell you today to stop saying things like you weren't raised right, or that your marriage partner walked out on you, or that you've just had too many heartbreaking experiences in life. Stop saying that. And start expecting God to reward you. God, please, it says He is pleased with those who has faith in Him and expect Him to reward them because they have diligently sought Him. God wants to bless you. He wants to wake that dream up. Those things that you've experienced, those bad times that you've experienced, simply should tell you that God's got an extraordinary future for you. If you can just get your head wrapped around what I'm trying to project to you today and understand that extraordinary problems only happen to extraordinary people. I can guarantee you, I can even make you see this. If you'll look back at your own life If you look back at the times when you did it right, the times when you stayed faithful to God, you kept seeking God, you did it right, you did what was right even when doing what was wrong would have been easier. When you stayed firm, when you dug your heels in, and when you conquered that problem, on the other side of that problem was a promotion. Now, you may have gotten a financial blessing. There may have been a restoration in a relationship. There may have got an advancement at your job. But on the other side of that thing that you persevered and you conquered was some sort of promotion, and that's God blessing you. It's His promise. I know what I'm about to say sounds really odd, but it's very true. You see, if you're going through life and you're not experiencing, if every problem you experience is minimal, if you're not having any bumps, if you're not having any tough times, then you are cheating yourself. You're not living for the dream that God put in you. Because if you live for the dream God put in you, you need God. And you're going to have some problems to get there. So if you're just cruising through life, you are not seeking your dream. Your dream will stretch you. Your dream will make you ask God to help you. You have to have God to experience your dream. Along those lines, in addition to what I just said, if you can overcome all your problems, every problem that you have, you overcome in your own power and in your own strength. If you can do that, if you don't have to pray, and if you don't have to seek God, and you handle all your problems all by yourself, then you're cheating your own life. You're not experiencing what God's got for you. God has an extraordinary thing for you, but it's going to have extraordinary problems. But on the other side of it is an extraordinary promotion and an extraordinary reward. He rewards those who diligently seek Him. What I hear the Lord calling you and me and all of us to this year in 2009 is to go deeper in God. And there's a psalm that relates to this, and I want to read it to you. It's in Psalms 107. It's an amazing psalm. It says this, Psalms 107 verse 23 says this, "They that go." Now, everybody doesn't go. Most folks don't go. But they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters or deep waters or big waters, talking about the ocean, okay? They that go down to the deep waters, these see the works of the Lord. And these see His wonders in the deep. Not everybody goes there. Not everybody diligently seeks God. I've got a little experience with going deep in the ocean. And when you get out there, you can't touch bottom. There's not a lot of support there. When you get out there, you can expect some big waves. And when bad weather comes, when storms come, the waves get bigger. And there's turmoil, all kinds of turmoil. And you're rocked around. The Bible talks about it in those verses just below that. It talks about how you spin about. And if you've ever been in a boat that's in turmoil water, you know exactly. It says you walk like a drunk man. You do. And it also says that your heart, and I add your stomach, comes into your throat. And you get sick. And you get frightened. And experiencing that, though, at the same time you're experiencing that, you get to see His works. And you get to see His wonders. Without the waves, without the turmoil, without the sickness, without the things going on in our lives, we don't get to see His works and we don't get to see His wonders. Let's make this relevant. So why is this sickness on you? Why are your finances in turmoil? Why is your marriage sinking? Why? Because God wants to show you His works and God wants to show you His wonders. And if we can ever see this, we're going to do like, I don't care how old a sailor you are or how big or bad you think you are. If you're out there, you cry out to God and you say, "Help me." Psalms, the same chapter, a few verses down, says 107 verse 28 says, "Lord, help." I've done it. they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Look at this. He calmed the storm to a whisper, and he stilled the waves. Expect extraordinary waves and storms if you expect to have an extraordinary life. It comes with the territory. But in so doing, you're going to see His ways, you're going to see His wonders, you're going to see His works. And when you cry out to Him, He'll still everything to a whisper. And on the other side of it are great rewards. Jesus was ministering one day, and after He had done talking with everybody, teaching them, He wants to teach His guys a lesson. And so He says, hey, let's get in the boat and let's push out to deep. Let me read it to you in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. And it says, when He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, put out into the deep water, now watch, and then let down your nets for a catch. You're not going to catch your dream in shallow water. You're not going to catch the life that God has for you in the shallows. It's out deep. It's deep in God. It's out there that we can put our nets down and we can catch our dreams. We can catch the thing that God has for us. But we got to go deep in God. We got to diligently seek Him. We got to expect Him to reward us. We got to look for good things to happen to us in 2009, not bad things. We got to have faith that no matter how bad things get, God can still speak to the storm and say, peace, be still. He can bring it to a whisper. Your dream is in the deep. And it's out there. What God is saying to you and me today is it's time, people, to get out of the shallows. It's time to give up on those shallow hopes and shallow dreams. It's time to reach down inside and stir up your dream. And let's go out deep together. Let's go out there and catch your dream. And if you'll diligently seek me in 2009, I'm going to show you some wonders. I'm going to show you some great things. I'm going to show you a glimpse of the future I have for you. Now, some of you right now, at this very moment, need to stir up that dream. You've got it so pushed down. Too many big black dogs, too many antichrist, too many negative comments, too many bad experiences, too many Goliaths have faced you, and you're discouraged. But I want you to realize today that extraordinary problems come only to extraordinary people. And it's time. In fact, I want to make sure you understand it's not too late. You see, nothing's been wasted. Every mistake you've made only directed you to where you are now. They weren't detours, they were directions that got you to where you are right now. Every sleepless night where you worried about this problem, every lonely time that you've experienced, every distressful time, every problem that you've faced, every criticism that you've ever had, made you who you are. Didn't destroy you. They made you. When you felt like that people were taking from you, that wasn't what was happening. People weren't taking from you. God was taking what that experience represented and putting something in you. See, I want to make sure that we get this point. What has happened to you is not nearly as important as what's happened in you. The dark times, the bad times that you had in life, are only a glimmer of the brightness that God has for you. The negative experiences that you've gone through are only a glimmer of the positive experiences that God has for you, the future. You're an extraordinary person. You said so. You believe so. Expect extraordinary problems. Within you right now is already the ability to defeat every single enemy that you'll face. And not just to defeat them, but to experience every dream you've ever had. You've got to diligently seek God. You've got to keep your faith alive and up. You can't let the issues push you down. You've got to war with that and come and diligently seek God and pray and read His Word and do those things that are associated with seeking Him. And if you will, God promises you that He will reward you. See, all those bad things that you've ever experienced only tell you that God's setting you up for your future. And remember that only extraordinary people have extraordinary problems. Let's pray. Father, your wisdom is just like you say. It's so far above ours. Higher than the heavens above the earth are your ways. And Lord, I know that what's been said today has borne witness with every single person here. And so, Lord, I know you're doing a work. And I know that right now you're stirring our faith. You're bringing up those dreams that we've buried. And you want us to create those dreams again and to push out into the deep and experience you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just want to ask you, how many want to push out into the deep? How many really want to experience the wonders and the works of God? And though you know there's going to be some storms and some waves out there, that you know you can cry out to Him, "Help me, Lord," and He'll bring it all to a whisper. You know that's the way it's going to work. And you can't expect an extraordinary life without the extraordinary problems, but you're willing to push out into the deep in 2009 and say, "Lord, I want what you have for me, what you have for my family, what you have for my future." If that's you, would you raise your hand along with me and say, "Lord, help me"? Amen. I see your hands everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray together. We agree together. Agree with me as I pray this. That, Lord, we will push out into the deep this year. That, Lord, we'll go out there where yes, Lord, we understand there's some turmoil. But, Lord, there are your wonders and your works and your treasures. Lord, we ask you to help each one of us do that. Push out and experience you in a new way that we've never experienced you before. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Now, listen, some of you aren't where you need to be with the Lord. You know you're not. So all you ever experience are big black dogs, Antichrist, things that keep defeating you, overcoming you, because you cannot overcome them without Christ, because greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. Through Christ we're more than conquerors. Those things are going to continuously defeat you, and you'll never have the life that God wants you to have without Him. And you know you're not where you've got to be with God to have the life that God wants you to have, and all that you can have in 2009. If that's you, I want to pray with you right now. And what the Lord promises you, if you'll begin to diligently seek Him, He'll begin to diligently reward you. If that's you, and you would say, "I know I'm not where I need to be with God, but I want to fix it. And this coming year, I want to go out deep with Him and experience the life that I know, in my heart, that I know I'm supposed to have." If that's you, would you raise your hand? Just let me pray with you right where you're sitting. I see hands. One, two, any other? Three, any others? Any others? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Four. Thank you.